Well, Lord, we thank you for the chance to be here together today. And as we turn to your word, I ask, Lord, that you would speak to us, instruct us, challenge us, direct us. And I thank you, Lord, that you hold us accountable for the things that you call us to do. And Lord, if there are areas of our life where we're not walking in obedience with you, Lord, we want to submit our lives to you once again this morning. We want to surrender this life that you've given us. And ask, Lord, that you would use us once more. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, I was just a few weeks ago in Austria looking at planting a church for snowboarders and skiers and mountain users up the top of a mountain. And I was there traveling with an English guy who's an evangelist, who's quite literally one of the most amazing evangelists that I have ever been around. This guy just shares the gospel with every single person that he comes across. It takes forever to get anywhere with him. He had booked, we left at 4 a.m. from his house. He'd booked a taxi service with a specific driver, this Muslim guy that he's been working on for the last couple of years. And he booked this 2-hour taxi drive with this Muslim guy for me to be able to share the gospel with this dude. When we got to the airport, we're going through the check-in, and he starts sharing the gospel with the guys that are doing the security checks. When we are sat there having a coffee before we get on the plane, he's sharing the gospel with the woman who's giving us the coffee. When we get to the side of the mountain, we're now traveling up the chairlift. There's some other people on the chairlift. He's sharing the gospel with the people on the chairlift. We get to the top of the chairlift. There's a guy there who's looking after these gondolas that go up. He starts sharing the gospel with this guy. I was exhausted. Absolutely exhausted. And also, if I am honest, I was beginning to feel like, man alive, Richard, what's happened to your passion for sharing the gospel? This guy's just doing it with every single person he meets. And as I spent a couple of days with him, I couldn't help but compare myself to him and his giftings and his kind of hit rate of sharing the gospel. And I ended up feeling, if I'm truthful, feeling a little bit discouraged. Feeling like, oh, actually, if I'm honest with myself right now, I'm struggling to make it through the day, let alone save the day for people. If I'm honest about what's going on inside my head at this moment at the top of the mountain, actually, there's loads of worries and concerns in my life that are real and serious and difficult situations that are filling my mind. And I'm so consumed with trying to fix those things. I don't have the energy to do what he's doing. And I just felt bad about myself. It can be the case when we meet people who seem to be legends in faith or have all sorts of stories of success that we can go, oh, actually, well, I'm not on the same page as them. I'm not on the same Christian walk as them, and we feel demotivated. And maybe our prayer is, as indeed my prayer was on the side of that mountain, Lord, I need to have more faith to live this life out. It's better for you. Has that ever been your prayer? I need some more faith, Lord. I just need to have some more faith. I was in the United States of America just this summer gone by doing some work with some churches out there. And it was my birthday, and my mother-in-law had organized a present for me, which was to drive my favorite car, an F-Type Jaguar. It is a crazy sports car that you should all have a chance to drive at some stage in your life. And it was just, I got it for 2 days, and I got to drive it around these mountain passes, and it was phenomenal. I had my wife sat next to me, and we were having like this date night, and the whole purpose of the drive was to scare her silly, because the more scared she got, the more she hugged me. And after 20 years of marriage, I'll take anything I can get. So I was driving fast. And she's screaming her head off, and we're having a great time. But the problem with driving fast around these mountain roads was that as I drove fast, I'm using the gas, and the petrol in the tank is dissipating really very quickly. So as I'm driving fast, I'm also going, Lord, I better find a petrol station fairly soon. And out in these mountains and driving through these valleys in California, there's no houses, there's nothing. You start to think, I'm not sure we're going to make it. So starting to kind of conserve my energy a little bit, starting to slow down because I wanted to conserve fuel to get to these locations. Desperate to get to the filling station so I can put the gas in so I can keep going and moving forward. Sometimes that's how we view our Christianity. Lord, pour your faith into me so that I can keep going and live this life, because this thing is hard. This thing is tough. And I need something more inside of me to keep going, to arrive to the destination that I want to arrive. I want to read you a passage of scripture that's from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 17. I'm going to read it from the Message. It says this: the apostles came up and said to the master, give us more faith. Seems like a reasonable request to me. But the master said, you don't need more faith. There is no more or less in faith. If you have a bare kernel of faith, say the size of a poppy seed, you could say to the sycamore tree, go jump into the lake, and it would be so. The apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith, Lord. Interesting, isn't it? Lord, I need some more faith to journey forward in this thing called Christianity. The disciples are just like us. We want to do better. Sometimes we feel that we're not cutting it as Christians. We're not living the life that maybe I imagined. I put my hand up. I said, yes, the Lord. I felt God say these things to me when I was growing up or in my early days of faith. But somehow along the journey, I'm not cutting it anymore. So Lord, help me, enable me to be better as a Christian. Fill me up. There's a sense that we could be doing better. We see our failures, we see our struggles, we see the fact that we go up and down like yo-yos. You see, I just told you a story of all the amazing stuff that's going on in France and around the world, and God is doing fantastic stuff. But I haven't been showing you the reality of the cost that's gone on inside of my heart and my head and the lives of my wife and family. It has been so up and down, you can't imagine. And there's been moments that I've been ready to give up. Been moments I've felt like a failure. Been moments I've been wondering, what in the world am I doing? Been moments when I've been wondering, who in the world are you, God? Moments I've been wondering, did I get this thing right? Moments I've been going, God, have you abandoned me? How can there be this much cost in the journey of following you? Lord, you've got to do something to help me get through, because I'm on my knees here. You see, just before this little passage of scripture, the disciples have been instructed by Jesus about the journey of forgiveness. You need to forgive one another. How many times, Lord? 77 times. I can't do that. Can you give me some more faith? You don't need any more faith. You've got enough faith. You see, the journey of living out this thing, this faith, this Christianity, it is hard when the rubber hits the road. There's real tough things going on in life. When somebody breaks your heart, when somebody betrays you, when a friend takes that secret that you've entrusted them with and they go and gossip about you behind your back, when the person you've entrusted everything to disappoints you and doesn't live up to the expectation that you've set, when finance runs dry and you can't understand it, when your boss says that you're not going to get the promotion, when you're let go at work, when there are things that are going on that just don't make any sense. And Jesus says, hey, listen, I want you to be a blessing to the world. I want you to forgive the world. I want you to serve others. I want you to put your own needs last and everybody else's needs first. And you're going, well, hang on a minute, my life's falling apart here. I'm struggling. It is sometimes really hard to follow Jesus. So I understand the disciples' journey to say, hey, listen, God, we just need some more faith if you want us to do this thing. But hey, listen, Jesus says, you don't need any more faith. There's no more or less faith. You have got faith. Faith as big as a mustard seed. Wow, that's fascinating. I wonder what they and they heard those words, did they go, oh yeah, oh now I get it? Or did they go, that doesn't really cut it, Lord. Can you not give us some more faith? And in fact, that's exactly what they did say, because their response to Jesus was the same as the question. But Lord, give us more faith. What's going on here? There is a tendency within our Christian world as we grow to make our spiritual journey about us and about our needs and about our state of mind. Which is fair enough because we are living inside of this thing. But kind of the thing that I know I signed up to was fairly sure, maybe you'd agree, was it something to do with living for him? Was it something to do with dying to ourselves? Was it something to do with his will be done and not our will be done? Was it something to do with surrendering our lives and saying, Lord, send me? Was it something to do with putting our lives before the cross and saying, Lord, forgive me of those sins that I've committed as I now turn around and step in a different direction, choosing to love you and follow you in a new way? But in our journey as Christians, in our culture, so much has become centered around us, our feelings, our ups and downs, our sort out. My phone is ringing in the middle of a church service. It's not very appropriate. The thing that I often find in having been a pastor now for 20 years is people are coming to our churches struggling through the journey of life, saying, Lord, I need some more faith. And then they look at the church to be the answer. Church, you've got to get me through this. And in order to get through this, can you make the worship really good? Because if the worship's really good, then maybe I'm going to be uplifted. And I go, whoa, hallelujah, today it was good and I feel ready to go. Or today it really touched me. I was really touched today. This really connected deep in my soul. I feel better. I feel closer to Jesus as a result of that. And we need some good preaching. Come on, Glenn. We need some good preaching that feeds us and makes us feel strong and makes us feel good. And also at the same time, copes and makes us feel better about ourselves and panders to, you know, I'm having a tough day today. So don't be too strong, Glenn. I want you to be strong, but not too strong. Remind me that God loves me in all my frailty and mistakes as well. And Lord, the sense of community, I want my church to be full of laughter and fun, or full of seriousness and somberness, however I'm really feeling from week to week, because I'm coming to church to get something to help me get through the rest of the week. You know it's true. That's how we behave. It's become our filling station to keep going in our Christian journey. And what has really started to take place over the last number of years is if the filling station isn't good enough and there's a cheaper fuel down the road, we'll go rock on there. And they got a better program that provides to my needs, to my family needs, to the situation I'm in. They understand me. Pastor, I'm leaving because those guys, they get me. And we're chasing this thing centered around us when I thought it was supposed to be centered around him. Wasn't it supposed to be centered around him? Didn't we sign up to it because he's the greatest? Didn't we sign up to it because he's going to lead us into something exciting, new and wonderful, but difficult and full of troubles and struggles, but exciting, new and wonderful, and he was with us? But we've made this whole Christian thing about us. We treat church like a filling station. We treat our relationship with God like he's a genie in a bottle. Or if we rub the side, say a few magic words, and then we get our wish. And if we don't get our wish and the church doesn't fill us up the way we want to, we are done. We are over it. I am sorry. I am finished. Now listen, I have felt like that. I continue to feel like that. That is called human nature. But that isn't what the gospel teaches us. We're being called to behave in a different way, to live for a different set of values. It's not about the faith that's being filled into you. You already have faith. It's about your faithfulness to what you have been called to be and then called to do. You have been called to be His child, to love up. You see, my kids, they just love on their dad because their dad loves on them. It's this natural two-way flow, the loving up. I've got those kids because they're an expression of my wife and our love together. We've created this family unit. What's the role of my little baby? My baby can't do anything. When he's first born, he's like... Oh, that's nice. What's the role of that baby? What can that baby do? That baby, and you know it, his parents, just looks at you with these little eyes, and somehow in this divine, incredible thing, you know that baby's loving up at you and you're loving down on that baby. There's this connection that's deep. Your role is to be his son, his daughter. And then your role is to do something with him. Because I want to be with my kids, but I want to go on an adventure of life with my kids and show them this incredible life journey. I often say to people, if your Christianity is boring, find following Jesus boring. If you are looking at what it means to be a Christian and you're just like, phew, then you are not doing it right. But the problem is there's lots of people living a boring, week-by-week Christian life because it's centered around themselves, not around Him. Ooh. I love this bit. It's in John 20, where you find the disciples. It's just after Jesus had died on the cross. Imagine the disciples. This whole thing had been rocking out, seen miracle after miracle. Jesus, their great friend and their great teacher. They're as close to Jesus as you could possibly be. It's fantastic. And now all of a sudden Jesus has been taken out. They've killed him. And they're locked away inside this room, the Bible says, for fear that the same thing may happen to them. So they gather together, they're freaking out, they're wondering about what's going to happen in the future, and then Jesus, who is now risen, appears through the walls. I love that. The room is on lockdown, and Jesus walks through the walls. The disciples start to freak out. What's going on? There's some guy coming through the wall! There's some guy coming through the wall! Everyone's running around hiding behind things. Because that's not a normal thing to happen. And Jesus says, peace be with you. And then he shows them his hands. They realize that this new thing that's happening inside their locked down room is Jesus arriving. I love that imagery. There's new things that happen in church when the disciples are gathered together. Jesus appears sometimes and people freak out. They start running from side to side. What is going on? And Jesus says, calm down, everyone. It's all right. It's me. I like that. I like that Jesus speaks to the reality of our emotions in the situation. It's all right to go up and down. Jesus understands your emotions. Look at the story of David. He's all over the place. He gets that thing. He speaks to where you're at. He speaks to where you are right now in your spiritual life today. Struggling, succeeding, in a mess, doubting. He speaks to where you're at and he says, listen, I'm here. I'm appearing in your life. Peace be with you. Calm down. Don't freak out. I'm with you. Then the disciples' reaction to discovering it was Jesus was fantastic. Because then they get into what Christians do, a quick G chord praise party. Somebody grabs the guitar and they start going, woohoo, it's Jesus, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And they start singing the song, glory, 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 hallelujah. And they all start singing their heads off and they start into a big worship session. And then Jesus says, hey, guys, peace be with you. Calm down. Now listen,
Jesus appears in this room because they are locked away. He calms them down and gets their attention. And then he says, as the Father has sent me, so now I am sending you. And he breathed the Holy Spirit into them. It's not that they needed more faith. They needed the Holy Spirit breathed into them so that they were truly connected into God's power and God's strength. And it doesn't say this in the Bible, but I really like to imagine it. That Jesus then went to the front doors, opened the doors, got the disciples and kicked them out the door. Now get on with it. Because how was Jesus sent? Jesus was sent by the Father to seek and save the lost. Jesus was sent incarnationally into the world. Jesus isn't locked away inside some room. He's bursting into people's rooms and releasing them into their calling, into their future. Jesus wants to get hold of your life. He wants to fill you with his Holy Spirit. He's put the faith that you need to believe for the crazy miracle, for the transformation. He's put that in your heart already. What he's looking for is surrender and obedience. Look, we love up, we love out. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. You love up, so you love out. If there is no loving out, then you have never loved up. The evidence that you have met with Jesus is seen in how you love out. You'll know them by their fruits. The adventure of faith is wild and radical. It is difficult and traumatic, but he walks with us. This is the moment that we celebrate his goodness. But our filling up, well, that's not a matter of faith. It's a matter of obedience. But our relationship, our encounter is with Jesus every single day. We've got to get used to walking with him day in and day out and saying, Lord, where should we go today? What crazy things can we get up to? And Lord, you know I got this stuff going on and I need you to help me with this stuff. I need you to minister to me. I need you to sort me out and help me. And I thank you for my brothers and sisters that deal with that stuff. But Lord, you know, that's my stuff, but I'm about your business. I'm about your calling. Because you have sent me. Just as you were sent, I am sent. You have been made uniquely you, placed in your situation, placed in your home, in your workspace, in your college, in your university. God has positioned you there as his disciple, sent into that space. To give glory to him and to point towards him. That's the calling of God that's upon your life. And that's what I want to encourage you in today. It's about him, not about you. You can trust him. Don't trust in yourself. You can trust him. And it's all right to feel like, I'm struggling. But don't look to the answer for that at the wrong place. You go to Jesus. Let's pray. Ooh. Lord, I thank you for the relationship that we're able to engage in with you. I thank you for the intimacy that we can experience at any given second. Thank you that you love us completely as we are. But you heal us and you draw us out of our past selves and lead us into something new. For we are new creations in you. Lord, I pray today that conviction would be upon us, not condemnation. We seek forgiveness today, Lord, for the things that we should have been faithful in. Maybe we've retreated and made our Christian life about something else. Lord, we say sorry. We make it about you once more and the mission that you've called us to. That mission to love and to serve others above ourselves. We do that together in communities you've called us to do. So I pray for this church here in Romford that you would use these wonderful people powerfully within this community, within their families. May you strengthen them. May they believe in you. May they be filled with your Holy Spirit, and in the faith that you have placed in their lives, may they step into the miraculous transformation of their future and the futures of their communities that they represent. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen. All right, Glenn. Thank you.